Jimmy, I'm telling you, our next guest, who just completed his 9th regular season in the NBA, his 5th with Indiana, it's like an art. It's an art to watch penetrate the basketball, find an open lane along the baseline. If there's a layup, you take it. If not, you go along the baseline. You circle, then back up, top of the key. You facilitate, find an open shooter. If they're not there, you go right to the rack. You lay it in. And then you wait and you steal the inbound pass.
Picasso, Monet, McConnell.
It's totally true, right?
Yep.
TJ
yep.
McConnell, who has mastered that move in the NBA and now has added more to the arsenal, joins us on the program. TJ, happy playoff season. How are you?
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you? Thanks for having me.
You know, man, it's the best time of year, right? I mean, and playoff season is upon us. The weather's broken. Life is good. And you've been a big part of that. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show, because you're a veteran. This is not new to you in terms of, you know, having to do different things over the course of the season. But take me through the last, let's say, 2 months, in just in terms of your elevation of play. Maybe you don't feel it. Maybe you think, like, I'm doing the same thing I've always done. But it does seem as though you have found a groove or rhythm. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, a little bit. Obviously, there's been an uptick in scoring for me. But I just have my teammates and the coaching staff to, you know, thank for kind of empowering me, tell me that's what we need is for me to be aggressive and look for my shot when it's open and kind of just get in the lane and create a problem. And if my shot's there, take it and, you know, shoot open threes and get people the ball. That's really how I just looked at it.
TJ, can you take us through the journey this season, going from an unknown of where minutes might come from you on opening night to, you know, I think wrongfully not being in the conversation for sixth man of the year by season's end, what that journey was like for you and to handle it as well as you did, to the point that the second unit is expanding leads versus giving them up?
Yeah, I mean, I think just staying ready. It's an 82 game season. And it's a long season. You know, things can happen. And if you continue to be who you are as a person and not waver, you know, be a positive light in the locker room, which I tried to do. I thought I did a good job of that. And just control what you control every day. And that's the attitude you bring and the energy you bring to practice and, you know, the controllables. That's really what I focused on. And just staying ready, because I knew my number could be called at any moment.
You know, speaking of your number, TJ McConnell, the thing to me that I'm most impressed by, I think, quite frankly, you know, like Pascal Siakam's a good example. He comes to the team middle of the year. I know that, you know, everybody liked Buddy Hield. And so here's this trade. And I'm genuinely curious. So I'm sitting there just before the game when you guys, and I know that he came to you guys on the road, but without missing a beat, you had the same introductory handshake dance with him, and you have a unique one for every single player on the roster that knows when they see you during the handshakes in the pregame that they do a particular, like almost like a patty cake thing with you. Who orchestrates those? How long does it take? And like, how did that all come about? Because it's, to me, extremely impressive.
Yeah, honestly, it doesn't take that long. It's not rocket science, so I'm not.
It is for me.
You know, you're making me sound really smart, so I appreciate it. But no, I mean, it's just we've got a great group here, who are great teammates, great players, and great people. And you know, with the handshakes, just bring out your personality, and that's really, you know, what it came down to. Just everyone showing their personality and having a good time with it and getting ready for the game.
You know, when I see that, though, and part of it's age and year of tenureship, TJ, admittedly, I'm not trying to make you feel old. I've already made you feel smart. But I look at that and I go, that makes that guy a glue guy. Like whether, and I think you know this, but that's the kind of thing that if there are two guys on that roster, maybe there are two guys that they don't, you know, they come from different backgrounds, whatever, but they have that same thing in common in the fact that they go through the same ritual and have fun with it. Everybody has fun with that, right? How critical is that? And when did you know that when you weren't on the floor, that was kind of a role that you had to undertake?
Yeah, I mean, even if I was playing, if I wasn't playing, you know, I've always said to myself, remain who you are. And, you know, I think guys need that. It's something to, you know, have before the game. And just because I'm not playing, I'm not going to stop being a positive light on the team. And I kind of said to myself, this is bigger than you. And just to continue to be who you are and have fun with it. And that's what I did.
Pacers guard TJ McConnell, nice enough to take some time with us. TJ, oftentimes in sports, the line between narrative and fact gets blurred. As a player that has playoff experience, two trips to the playoffs in Philadelphia and one with the Pacers a couple of years back, how much does that matter? Is that an overstated narrative, or is it actually highly beneficial to already have previous playoff experience? And for those that don't, which is a majority of this Pacers roster, how do you ingrain to them how different that level of competition is?
I mean, I feel like if you're a great player, whether you're a rookie or you're 10 years in, you can play. I mean, you can play. And whether that's regular season or playoff basketball, and it is more difficult. I will say that. I mean, there, you know, it slows down. You have to, it's a chess game, and you have to be able to read and react quicker and just be way more locked in. And I feel like for guys that haven't seen it, it'll be a, you know, an adjustment at first, but the great players get adjusted very quick.
TJ, we from the outside, TJ McConnell of the Pacers is our guest here on Quarry and Company. We from the outside look at the Pacers, and obviously, and you know this, I mean, Tyrese Haliburton is, you know, the all-star. Siakam is obviously a wonderful player and has now acclimated. Can you tell me from your eye, you're in the practices, you're on, you know, you're on the buses to the arena, on the road, etc. Can you tell me a player that from the outside we would be surprised to know how much the player has evolved or meshed and been an important part of the cohesiveness of this roster?
I obviously, you named two of the great players, but Andrew Nembhard to me and Aaron Nesmith, those two guys I don't think get talked about enough. Andrew Nembhard started off the year as the backup. Then he's the backup two, the starting one. Aaron Nesmith is guarding, you know, the other team's best player, shooting threes, and I mean, and he's picking up full court. These guys, we would not be where we are today without both of those guys. And those guys, from the beginning of the year to where they are now, have made tremendous strides.
You know what I like about those two, and I want you to tell me if this is a fair assessment. I like guys, TJ, that when you look at the box score, might have a night where they give you 12 or 14 points. But those are points that weren't necessarily part of the main orchestration of that offensive set. But when the ball came to them and the shot clock was running down, they knew exactly what to do. Or they know when it's kind of go time and when it's feed and facilitate time. And those two guys, to me, appear to be, and I'm not on the roster, right? But they seem from the outside to be guys that are not worried about whether they get 14 or whether they get two. They're worried about what the number is on the left-hand side of the column, win or loss at the end of the day.
100%. Those two especially make the right play every time. And it's, you know, whether it's sacrificing a shot for a better shot. But the thing that it can't be overstated is.
Now, somebody rang the bell. Does that mean somebody just hit like a bunch of 3-point shots?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what that means.
heck yeah.
but those two on the defensive end, you know, I can't say this enough. What they bring to the table on that end of the floor takes us to the next level. I mean, they really play really hard and are such good defenders.
TJ, on Sunday, you made the most three-pointers that you've made in over a year, and you also took the most three-pointers that you've taken in well over 15 months. This might be a, if it ain't broke, don't fix it answer, because your mid-range game is so poetic that, you know, it's effective enough to, again, be a part of six-man conversations towards the end of the season. But can we expect a green light from you now from beyond the arc? Is that where we're going after a 3-for-4 against the Hawks?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this year, you know, kind of what my rule was in the beginning of the year, I got to a slow start confidence-wise, especially from three. So, you know, I wasn't really looking to shoot it from out there. But once I got consistent minutes and was able to, you know, kind of find my groove from out there, and, like, I'm not going to be a high-volume guy that takes six or seven of them. But, I mean, if I'm open, I'm going to shoot it from out there. And, you know, I just have Jenny Busick to thank, who has kind of stayed with me throughout her time here and has continued to work with me. And, you know, I call her my therapist. You know, she talks to me through tough shooting slumps, tough times, and she's been here every step of the way.
TJ, with you guys as a group, you know, the defense has obviously come together more so than it was at the beginning of the year. And it felt to me like there was a time where when you guys were really starting to kind of learn defensively how to clamp down, that it was coming at the cost of your offensive fluidity. And maybe having Siakam as a new face in that was a factor as well. But it seems to me like in the last month, you guys have kind of figured out how to play at one end defensively, but still have the energy and the pace of on the offensive end. Is it a difficult balance to find?
I mean, absolutely. I think in the beginning of the year, our offense was so elite that, you know, the defense was kind of being overlooked. But that doesn't mean we weren't working on it. I think, you know, Jenny and Coach Boylan do a great job with our defense. And obviously we got off to a slow start, but they continue to stay with us, and we locked in. And we look, we realized that, you know, we might have a great offense, but if we don't lock into the defensive principles and pay attention on that end, you know, the playoffs aren't going to be an option. You can't get into the playoffs and just be a great offensive team. You got to have a great defense too. So credit to those two coaches and us for kind of, you know, righting the ship and getting that fixed.
Pacers guard TJ McConnell is our guest. TJ, as you have continued to mesh and grow with Obi Toppin, how impactful has this been on this Pacers offense?
He's unbelievable. He's so easy to play with. He gets out and runs better than anyone I've ever seen, and creates mismatches where we can throw it over the top or get a lob. And if you leave him open, he can really shoot it. So as a point guard, he's so easy to play with and makes my job really easy.
How much do you get a chance, TJ McConnell, in the basketball season? I know you guys are playing. Do you get a chance to keep up with and follow or watch your alma mater, Arizona? Did you watch them much this year?
I try to as much as I can. You know, sometimes their games are on pretty late in the West Coast, but you know, I check scores for sure and keep up with them for sure. Yeah,
because the reason I ask, you know, Indiana just got a transfer from Arizona, Balo, their 7-foot center. Didn't know if you could give us any scouting report on what Indiana's getting.
I mean, he's a great big man. I've talked to him a few times. Great guy, great teammate, and he's skilled. So I think they're getting a really good player. And sad to see him leave Arizona, but you know, wish him nothing but the best at Indiana. You're getting a great guy, great teammate, and great player.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about, and I'm not going to ask you to speak specifically on this situation. That would be, I'm not going to put you at that risk. But I'm sure you know that today you have an NBA colleague in Jontay Porter that was leveled a lifetime suspension for gambling, what appears to, you know, an investigation that they determined was an impropriety of gambling within the NBA. In terms of those, I guess, rules and regulations, how much has that, like, gone over with you guys? I mean, do you have to take a class on it? Does the league come in, or is it just kind of a common sense thing?
Yeah, honestly, I mean, I haven't paid too much attention to that situation. Obviously, kind of a sticky situation, but you know, I think we're given the gambling rules each year, and so obviously unfortunate, but I'm not too up to date with that one.
What is in this particular week, TJ, as you get set, kind of a dead week, right? I mean, and I that sounds ridiculous because there's obviously a lot of work to do, but is it tough when you're going from playing games, you know, back to backs and everything else, and then all of a sudden you've got this week to prepare? Or do you almost get to a point where you're like, let's just play at this point?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're all excited to play, but you know, we've got to lock into the details and tendencies with guys. Even though we've played this team five times this year, we've got to look at what we can get better at on both ends.
TJ, we've talked a lot over the years about rivalries within the NBA, and when you zoom in on the Pacers, it's Pacers-Knicks, it's Pacers-Heat, and it was well documented the, you know, blows that were shared on both sides of Pacers-Bucks this season. Are we trending that way, where this is the next great rivalry the Pacers will be a part of? Or do you not see it that way?
I mean, I think the way I look at it is it's two great teams playing against each other. You know, it's we're not making it about anything else. You know, we're excited for the opportunity to play in the playoffs again against a championship caliber team in Milwaukee. And we have to be locked in because they're a great team.
How much, TJ, in a playoff series, this is kind of a weird way to ask this, how many different teams do you have? And what I mean by that is, do you go into it and just say, we are the Indiana Pacers, this is how we play, and you're going to have to beat us four times? Or do you go into it with kind of a flexibility of different styles of that chess match that you were talking about?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to continue to play to our strengths and to our identity. And, you know, we have to make adjustments. I think that's what playoff basketball is all about.
You mentioned earlier how much the game slows down in the postseason. With the pace at which you guys like to play, how do you avoid becoming the victims of pace being dictated? How do you dictate that pace?
I think that's on us. You know, we control our pace and tempo. Obviously, they're going to do some things, but we've got to read and react too. And we've got to get the ball out and do what we do best and run.
TJ, lastly, I'm sure you're aware, you know, this morning, obviously, the introductory press conference for Caitlin Clark with the Indiana Fever. Pacers Sports and Entertainment has the Pacers and the Fever. It's pretty exciting, isn't it? I mean, just for young girls in the state of Indiana and basketball fans in general, just your overall thoughts on Caitlin Clark joining the organization.
I mean, her impact for not only women's basketball, but basketball in general, like you stated, I mean, it's undeniable. She's transcendent, and we are incredibly happy to have her here and looking forward to her and, you know, the rest of the Fever on having a great year. And obviously she'll have a long career in the WNBA, and we're all looking forward to watching her and the Fever play this year. We're happy to have her.
Are you standing near the bell right now, by the way? For those that don't know, the practice facility at the Pacers, there's a bell that is rung when somebody, if they're like a three-point benchmark is hit. Are you near the bell by chance?
I am not.
Darn it. I was going to see if you could ring the bell for us on the way out. I thought that'd be fun.
If you want me to, I'll run over there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Do it,
but, yeah. Can we get you to run over there and ring the bell? That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Get your exercise here. Now, are you doing this while you're still on the phone?
I just ran here. You ready?
Okay, yeah, here we go. TJ McConnell. Yes! Yes! We love it.
Simple
things. For all the threes that were hit down the stretch, TJ, and we look forward to watching the Pacers and the Bucks in the playoffs, and best of luck. You got a city behind you guys here for the playoff push for the Pacers, and appreciate the time today.
Great. Thanks for having me, and you guys have a good one.
All right, appreciate it. TJ McConnell of the Indiana Pacers, ringing that bell, baby.